Hi there and welcome. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a good day. Hope everything's going well. Beautiful sunshine where I am, and I love it because it can be sunny 24/7 whenever I do this. And so it's like that thing of even if it's, in the middle of winter or you're somewhere in an ice cave and you have no access to the outside world, this is sunshine coming to you. All right. Wanted to get something different in the stream because for me, the sound has always been an incredible element in my healing and in my awareness. It's been something that I have been tuned into without knowing from the time I was little. And part of that had to do with a little operation I had when I was about, I can't remember. It was like nine, I think, eight or nine. And I had a growth in my ear. And they removed it and I lost some of my hearing. But the cool thing about that was it's like I retained an extremely high level of when usually when they do these types of operations, surgeries, that level of hearing is gone, the higher level. And with this, that was the part that remained. And so it was kind of like an anomaly and I got to go be studied. Not that it ended up with anything, but that was the fun part of doing this little thing that you would like not to have done to you. All right. Surgery as a child, you're going, no. Can I just keep it? It's okay. I'm not worried about it. But so that was one of the backgrounds for this is that it made me very tuned into sound. And when I went into being a DJ, and then I only really have one ear. And when you're doing sound work, having two ears is quite an asset. So the one ear thing is a challenge. In the meantime, it didn't stop me. But the other thing I do with healing, I've learned that making certain tones and doing certain sounds in your environment will help you relieve or alleviate certain types of diseases. All right. So today I wanted to talk with somebody who's an intuitive angel artist. Her name is Susan Prout and she's in my area, which happened. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Somebody local I can talk about. And Susan, I want to get into your background, how you got into this, because you work with sound and color and energy, the whole nine yards. How did you get started?
Actually, for me, it also started at a very young age. Four and six, I had near-death experiences, due to an illness, in both cases, I did have life-saving surgery. And, I remembered those experiences still very vividly today and was introduced to some of my own angels during that. And then was able to see them all the time. And, you're talking mid-60s, and I grew up in Iowa on a farm, so it's kind of difficult, especially at that age, to explain this to my parents. But, they did the best they could. it did start at a very young age for me as well.
When you see the angels, you see them as wisps, as light, as people, how do you see them?
The best way for me to describe it is clouds of light. It's kind of like those rays of sunshine you see, coming down between the clouds. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that with just like little glitters of color in it.
And do they have names?
Yes, they, is my understanding that they do. Their full names can take 15 to 20 minutes to pronounce. They're more of a tone and a vibration of who they are than just a name.
That is fabulous. I'm just thinking, so there's a symphony that describes each one. So it's, that language is completely different from ours in this. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant.
Yeah, and when I do angel portraits for somebody, because we as humans need something way shorter than that, they spell for me a piece of it. But I am never to pronounce it for the person. They're, they're to pronounce it, and it's, just kind of what feels right to them. And there is no such thing as right or wrong. But
that's beautiful.
Then actually taking it to the next level and actually toning it can be a whole nother way to connect with that, using that name that they give me.
And when you're talking to them, is this a telepathic or is it channeling? How do you connect?
I actually visually see these wisps of light or clouds of light, however you want to describe them. you know, they are very translucent, very transparent. So they are, you know, it is very subtle.
But, in other words, if somebody would pay attention, they could also be experiencing the same thing, just not have connected the dots.
Yes, most definitely.
See, some of this stuff, I think, when I've taken pictures, there's one where there's this big white cloud all around the exterior of the frame, and I see it, and it wasn't there when I took the photo, but the image showed up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a big fog, a fog bank right beside me as I'm taking the picture. And I knew that, I mean, I knew that was, that there was an energy present, but I didn't expect to see it quite like that. And people sometimes, you know, dismiss this as a camera anomaly, some kind of a defect, but with the digital stuff, there are so many more possibilities because it picks up the frequencies of light that we don't normally see with our eyes.
Exactly. I know just recently I was doing a crystal ball meditation at a yoga studio. And just for fun, before everybody got there, because I got in there a little early that day, I took two photos. And it's interesting, in one, you know, and they were taken literally seconds apart from each other. And in one of them, there's this clear, like, beam of light coming down from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then talking to the owner of the yoga studio, you know, she'd always talked about a vortex being in the corner. Well, this was probably a couple feet from that. And she, and then, you know, talking to her later, she told me that, you know, her feeling was that the vortex had actually moved about 10 days before that. And it was exactly where that beam of light came down.
Which is wonderful, because she's picking up on it intuitively and possibly energetically without the visual aspect. She knows it's mm-hmm. there, and you're able to say, hey, look, here's the dot. It connects.
Yeah, I did post them on Facebook, too, just for fun.
But that's how we learn, and that's how we see. You know, when we're talking mm-hmm. about these things, we don't really have a language that is universal between cultures, between even like if you're talking from somebody who has a different religious background, not just the culture or the language difference, but we have to somehow compartmentalize into words that make sense a topic that we really don't yet have a full understanding of. And so right now we're connecting dots in the best way. And some of that is just sharing personal experiences, which is why I wanted to have you come in to the equation here and bring your information, because you do so many things with this, with the colors. What is the difference between a light blue and a light pink, or a light green, or a dark brown? What colors, what do they represent? And I, not specifically those, but in color work, how do you translate that to something that's usable?
I know with the angel portraits, it's like each of the different colors are bringing in a different energy for that person.
And this, of course, is all unique to each individual you're talking about. Is there an overview, an overlay that colors would represent generically?
Yes, there are. I have, when I know when I do angel portraits, I have a little sheet that actually everybody gets. And this information is also posted on my website. Pink is generally caring, nurturing, friendship, peace, and emotional healing. Yeah, so each one, you know, each different color has, you know, a few words like that. And then that's the energies that angel is trying to bring into their life at that moment.
If you're listening, the website she's talking about is angelicreflections.com. And again, Susan Prout is my guest. If you want to do something yourself, when you give people a chart or a drawing of some kind, do then they try to visualize this themselves to bring it into their energy, or what do you recommend once you've done a chart for somebody?
Once I've done an angel portrait for someone, I just recommend that they put it somewhere where they can see it every day. You know, whether it be in the hallway so they pass it every day, or in their meditation area, or whatever, just a place that they're going to see it on a regular basis, because it's almost like it opens a doorway to make it easier to connect with the energy of that angel. There's just like the constant flow of healing coming through that.
When you've had people who have done these, what are some of the results that they've shared with you?
I've later had people come back and say, you know, that their angels are now talking to them. One of the most dramatic ones was actually an angel portrait at the moment I almost didn't do. It was a young girl in her 20s, early 20s, obviously going through a great deal of turmoil at that point, drugs, alcohol, hanging out with all the wrong people, and experimenting with a lot of things. She came back to me like a year and a half later. As she had gone back to school, back to college, and was getting her degree, she had gotten clean. And this whole time she was telling me about all these changes going on in her life, and there was a young man standing right behind her just grinning from ear to ear. And he had proposed to her the night before.
Obviously, one of her cheerleaders and her champions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's opened up so much more for her. She realized that there was more to the world, and she had an important place, and an important role to play.
When that happens, I know you're not always going to get that super dramatic result.
But no.
In the interaction, can you see a shift in people? Can you see things happen with their angels around them as you do this?
Sometimes I can, not always, but sometimes.
Well, when you're talking about having a visual, not everyone gets that kind of result or that kind of presentation. So that's why I'm asking, how do you see it? Because I know there are so many people coming into this awareness that have had these kinds of experiences and never been able to integrate or acknowledge or accept that this isn't an illness. It isn't a one-time thing. It's the more you pay attention to it, the clearer your vision becomes and the more you can expand upon it.
Mm-hmm. And most definitely. I think mine, because I was introduced to it at such a young age. And for some reason, just nobody was able to convince me that I didn't see, that I couldn't see what I thought I saw.
Well, and you had two different instances. So that was almost like, here's one, and now here's the proof, or here's the cement that sets it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Were those illnesses, was that something that was a childhood illness, or what? It wasn't an accident, or what was it?
On both occasions, I experienced ruptured hernias. And I actually had other hernias removed, in between there. Around that age as well, other years, but those two, they got to the point where they actually ruptured.
And that's unusual in itself, somebody that young.
Yes, and for a young girl to have repeated, almost, annually. I was, from the age of 2 to the age of 6, I had issues with hernias.
Did your angels talk about that and say this is necessary? Did they give you, like a kid, you're not going to ask, but maybe you did.
Not at that time. Later on in my life, when I've done some, different regression work and some different things that I've experienced, I was given that my body, the frequency of my body was being retuned is kind of the best way to put it.
Understood. Yeah, understood exactly. But I just wanted to add that element too, because that makes a difference. And the thing is, for me, this kind of thing goes on so much more frequently as part of being human, that we have these connections and these others who come with us, but they don't help unless usually we ask for it or we make ourselves aware of it in some fashion. And by getting that little jump start as a child, you had basically like a head start and a way of accepting it without worrying about everybody else around you not having a clue or maybe rejecting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you deal with children at all?
Yes, I do. I've even drawn angel portraits for infants that were still in the womb. I've done that on 3 or 4 occasions over the years.
And when that happens, are they able to later, give you kind of affirmations that, hey, look, this is what's playing out from either the older, the caregiver, or from the child perspective?
I know. I have had contact off and on with one of the mothers from one of those children. I imagine that little boy is probably about 5 by now. About once a year or so, I seem to get a Facebook message or an email from her. And every time there's a comment of something about how, at least she feels, the assistance and, from his angel for, making the right decisions in raising him.
This, I think, is extremely helpful because it gives people another outlet, another resource, another support. That's a spirit connection. It's a spirit. It's that non-physical element that is present, that when you have somebody like you who, you're reading this on different levels, you can just provide, in a way, an objective basis for, yes, this is coming into play. This will be a factor and you're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the most difficult part of doing this?
The most difficult part. Oh, geez. I think sometimes that, is when people, they have so, so many questions and, sometimes, because with one person, I could get a lot of information, and messages for them as I'm doing the angel portrait. And, and some people I don't. Some people, and those seem to be the ones that want it the most. But those are also the people that their angels are constantly going, they want them to ask for them. They want the contact directly with them themselves, not, they want them to learn how to do it themselves and not necessarily with an intermediary.
Understood. It's like if you're not willing to do the work, you're not going to reap the benefits. Plus, it's a whole thing. Then they become dependent. And that's the one thing I've always been encouraged to avoid is developing any kind of relationship that then enhances, encourages, or relies upon somebody coming back over and over again, because then you're doing their work for them and they aren't really doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want us to learn how to communicate with them on our own.
That's a challenge, I think,
help.
In terms of, you, each of us doing our personal work and wanting to help others and at the same time avoiding being an enabler.
Yes. Yes.
And you're talking about people who come and have so many questions. Do you do this also, you pick up the phone and say, all right, I'm going to tune into your energies. So you do this remotely as well.
I do it remotely, but not necessarily not over the phone. I can do it from a photograph, and then if any messages that I get, I would actually write on the back.
Does it matter if they had a bad hair day?
No, it's just the more recent the picture, the better.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't retouch this in any shape or form, and I'm really, really please don't share this with anybody, but give me your best shot, kind of thing.
What? I mean, connecting with yours or?
No. I mean, no. I mean, just in general, when somebody is asking for a reading, it would be okay for them to just let it all hang out and not worry about retouching, because that distorts.
Yeah, it can be just, a quick little selfie that you take of yourself, that morning, I've done ones from, when people were, out hiking, and, we all know when we're out hiking, we do not have good hair days and we're not messing with makeup and.
We're real.
Yes.
We're real. Yeah. That's the thing about doing that. It's like, there's no pretense. There's just, hey, it's so good to be outside. It's so good to be natural.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the work that you do with sound, you work with the tuning forks?
Yes. I do, I work with a number of sets, but mostly with the ones referred to as the solfeggio frequencies. Those are the ones I work with most frequently.
And what is the difference? What is unique about that?
Solfeggio frequencies are very, very specific Hertz frequencies. They were the tones that were used back in the 1600s in the Gregorian chants. And then the church claims that they, lost those frequencies at that time. There's been a lot of rumors that it was actually they intentionally put them aside because people were having spiritual experiences.
That they couldn't explain.
Of course, and the church couldn't control it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been some things said that Stradivarius instruments were actually built to play these frequencies, and that is why they are so beautiful.
When I have experienced healing, and sometimes it's been with a guided assist from my own, my guides, they have told me to do certain types of sounds to get rid of, in other words, if something is forming that doesn't need to form, then you go and you disrupt that sound, that frequency, and mm-hmm. you do it with your own tone, because we all have the ability to do self-healing. And so I have been able to remove certain types of dis-ease or illness by doing that toning and chanting. And it doesn't help to tell everybody what it is, because it may not work for each individual. But for me, finding out the ability and knowing that that is a way of harnessing our own energy, our own intuition, our own power to recover is absolutely extraordinary.
Yes. You know, and each one of your, you know, your organs, you know, and chakras and different energy points within the body, they are meant to function at different frequencies. And, you know, a lot of times that dis-ease that we talk about is when those organs are not functioning at that optimal frequency.
What I find so entertaining is when people who are, you know, considered very, very old by our standards reveal what they have been eating, or how they have been smoking, or how they have been, you know, all the things that they would be told, don't do this. But somehow they've enjoyed a long and prosperous or healthy life, regardless of what our society has said, this won't work. None of them are morbidly obese. Okay, that first one goes out there. But the others who've maybe had, you know, bacon and eggs every morning, or had a Coke in the evening, you know, it's that thing of not overdoing, or I guess, you know, the glutton phase. But it's doing one specific thing that we've said, you won't live a long life if you do this. And they just confound all of the research and the studies that says just the exact opposite. Do you have any insight into that when you're dealing with people, why certain things aren't as debilitating or negative?
I think part of that is because when they, I've seen some of that in my own family, like my great-grandfather that lived well into his 90s, who smoked a cigar every day and had bacon and eggs for breakfast every morning. I think it was because when he partook of those things, he did it with joy. He actually sat there and truly enjoyed them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, especially as, you know, in his later years, those were some of the few things that he, you know, was still able to enjoy.
But, I think that's a bombshell right there. Is that intent that you are consciously putting into the experience speaks volumes, and it resonates, and it in some way, shape, or form makes an impact on your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. And keeping the health of your frequencies, frequencies of your different organs is key. And I know, you know, he lived at home his entire life. He, you know, was never, you know, put in a situation where he had to go to a home or anything. So, but he was able to stay on the land where he lived most of his life, you know, on the land that he farmed. And, you know, that was, you know, his love.
You know, so and again, we're talking, this is Susan Prout, angelicreflections.com. I wanted to ask, you know, you're talking about that home space, that home base. You think with most people, it really helps to have some kind of a sacred space or a home that they're connected to?
Especially being connected to the earth and, you know, staying grounded and having that connection is very, very important. You know, especially as, you know, city dwellers. So often we don't take the time to get off the sidewalk and go walk through, you know, walk on the earth. And that can be so important.
You talk about on the angel portraits, the therapy, the things that you do. One of them is the DNA activation.
Yes.
And what does that do?
I do that in a very, probably very unusual way. I have created some very ancient tools. Lawrence Gardner wrote about them quite a bit in a book called, I believe it was the Ring Lords, and they're called the Rings and Rods of Justice, They were last known to be in Egypt and Babylon. And at that time, we're kind of lost in the mists of time, so to speak. But I was guided by my angels to recreate these, and it's working with those, and it's helping to reawaken another level of reconnecting the light bodies and getting the chakras all spinning in the same direction at the same speed, and that as that goes out, then it activates the different layers of the light bodies, gets them all working together. And and activating, they are finding more and more that the main food, so to speak, or
Stop with the food. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk more about the frequencies with Susan Prout and maybe get into the pet connection. Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Glad to have you along. Stick around.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six...
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win.
Whoa!
Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. My guest is Susan Prout, and we were talking just before the break about food, kind of. So I want to get back to that. Also, I'm going to introduce the pet topic here in just a minute, but I had to interrupt. Sorry. But you were doing so well. So if you could pick up.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about the DNA repair that I do with the rings and rods of justice. And I was mentioning that the food, sometimes can be referred to as food for the DNA is what's photonic light. And then I kind of lost where we were going.
But what photonic light
Yes, which photonic light is, you know, very, it's the light that comes straight from the central sun, the black hole that is at the center of our galaxies.
Okay. How do you access that?
Yeah, it's something that I don't, you know, with creating the rings and rods of justice is the way that my angels guided me to do that. And, you know, it's, you know, using the copper and gold and silver and the number of different stones, herbs, and different things they had me actually put inside the rings and rods of justice, because they are made
out of copper. So it's like an alchemical type approach?
Yes, exactly. Thank you for that.
Well, I just, in terms of trying to give people some kind of a thought or a basis to make this a linear thing, which is so difficult to do. That's one way.
That is extremely hard for me to do because I don't work linearly, you know, work that way very well.
And that's okay. The thing though, what you're talking about, that makes it a little more clear on what dimension that might, correspond to this when we're manifesting. So in terms of getting into that kind of healing, which is unique, then how does that jumpstart somebody who is working through a process of trying to heal or trying to recover or trying to instigate some kind of personal change?
When you have, you know, the chakras are fully functioning and the meridians are actually, you know, firing and moving and flowing through your body, like the, you know, our blueprint was intended to, it, you know, the side effect is just, you know, is health and, you know, and an opening, you know, to the, it's just a natural side effect.
I want to digress. I want to go a different direction. Do you see angels around animals?
Around animals? You know, not always. Sometimes I do. But also, but that also tends to be with, happen with people that are just so much more connected to their pets.
Yeah, when you,
so
when you do
more
see them.
With like cats, dogs, horses, people, you know, types of animals that are more, you know, that connect with people more.
Okay. I was going to say, when you do see them, what's the most common? And what would be the most unique experience you've had in terms of a person with animals?
Oh, gee, that's a tough one. I think that would actually have to have been with horses. This particular animal was one that worked specifically a lot with the autistic children.
What was different about that animal?
That specific animal just seemed to have more angels with it and more angels connected to it. And I think, you know, and I think that had a lot to do with the specific work it was doing with helping these children to connect to something. Because, that, you know, for so many of them, that is something that they struggle to do.
I think that's more common than we realize with our animal companions and the animals in our surroundings, that they approach us via a common denominator that might be in our surroundings that we're not really, that we don't have a label on and we don't exclude from our inner circle. They get free rein because we don't consider them a threat.
Yes.
We, you know, that non-threat thing really makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I know. You know, some of us have seen those videos, you know, like that come up on Facebook from time to time with horses or, you know, particularly, and also dogs, connecting with some of these autistic children. And it's beautiful.
They don't have to worry about language and saying the proper thing in the proper way with the proper enunciation and the proper intention and meaning. They're just there.
Yes. Exactly.
In healing work, what is the most common challenge that people come to you with?
Most common challenge? As far as health-wise, a lot of it is lymphatics. And that's partly because the the lymphatic system within the body does not have a natural pump. The pump is, what, keeps the energy and the fluid pumping through your lymphatic system is movement. And so many of us, we spend too much time sitting at our desk every day.
Yeah. So it's basically getting the motion back into the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why, simple things for, especially now that the weather's getting nice again, starting on going for, even if it's just a short walk, taking a short walk in the evening or in the morning, is so important.
A lot of people, the old phrase was, I need to take a walk to clear my head. And that's exactly what it does.
Yeah, it does. And it's, it's so good for the body health-wise overall.
There's actually one woman that I did a it's been a while, maybe in the last 6 months, 3 months. It's recent history, but I go through so much just because of the old journalist thing of I'm just fascinated by stories. The woman who walked, and she walks, not only does she walk to clear her head, she basically walks to clear her life. And if she hasn't walked enough, she gets antsy and needs, usually her walks, at least the ones that I read about, and she won an award recently for being one of the solo adventurers. I think that the top 14 or 15, because she walked, I think, from somewhere in the UK to Australia. in other words, a very long walk all by herself. And the story there is so extraordinary because for her, if she's not out walking and not out unencumbered, she becomes increasingly either, feeling claustrophobic, confined in some way, disabled because of this lack of connection with that other arena, outdoors and nature. And I think part of that is saying, there's so much of this old style that we used to have that had less building and cement influence that kept us healthy in ways we didn't realize were life enhancing. And now there's a recovery of that saying, oh my gosh, wow, we're losing it. And that the environment is becoming again a priority where it for a while was on the back burner.
Reconnecting with the earth and the land and growing our own food is, it's going to be key for our future and for our children and, and the following generations.
Now, there are other people who have these experiences, and some of them equate them with an ET or extraterrestrial, some kind of a presence. Have you had that kind of encounter?
Yes, I have. It's not something I talk about very often, but yes, I have. I know as a small kid, I think I was probably 8 or 9. I remember my parents were out for the evening, and we had a babysitter at the house. And I remember standing in my bedroom window as I was getting ready for bed and looking out and seeing he looked similar to what is today referred to as the Grays. But, of course, at that age, I had seen nothing like this. But it was tall enough that when he walked out the garage door, he had to duck to not hit his head.
Oh, he was a thin, tall Gray.
Yes, and I'm saying he, I have no idea what it was,
Understood.
Gender, actually, but, it almost looked like he was wearing some sort of gray bodysuit type of thing. But, and it's like we just stood there and stared at each other like 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, and then I blinked and he was gone. And I remember, when that contact then broke, then I was not frightened during it, but I got frightened then when that contact broke.
Yeah.
And all I could tell the babysitter was that I saw somebody outside. And her dad and her brother came and they looked all over, around our farm and, around the house, and they couldn't find anything or see anyone.
So have you had any remembering or regression or anything since then in terms of that experience?
No, I haven't. I've almost intentionally avoided that.
Okay, I understand completely. Believe me. It's like, oh, yeah, do I really want to go there? That's just a whole nother can of worms, and it involves reassessing everything I thought was real. Everything.
Yes.
And I'm not ready for that kind of work just yet.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but that's why I'm asking, because I do think more people are coming to terms with these. This is part of the experience. It's part of the experience. It isn't an anomaly and a one-off. It is a part, and it's a foundation. And the more we allow that as being okay and not, you know, a quick route to the crazy house, we learn more and stop saying, okay, don't go there. Because it's like, you know, once you go there, then you start learning, you start exploring, you start releasing some of the fear and some of the propaganda, some of the disinformation by saying this was what it was. And there was no intent to harm. There was just an awareness, an acknowledgement. I suspect that you might have gotten something during that encounter that gave you information. And at the same time, it wasn't information that you needed at that time. It was information that would be available when and if you called on it.
Yes, and when I needed it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it could be it's something that, you know, at this point I don't need yet.
Right, it hasn't happened.
I haven't
it
been
hasn't happened.
Really called to explore that.
In a lot of our explorations and discoveries, the people who bring it say they had a divine knowing or a divine revelation or an anomalous event, an encounter they couldn't explain. And then it triggered a memory or it triggered an insight. And that to me is part of this experience. When you're working with others now, do they come to you with, do they say, hey, I'm having these experiences. Can you help me understand them or integrate them? Is there some of that starting to happen with more of your clients?
A little bit, not a lot yet, but a little bit.
And when you are able to help people, what is the first thing that you suggest?
The first thing I suggest is meditation. You know, because so many times we're always asking for help, but then we're not taking the time to sit there and listen to the answers that we're looking for.
And meditation with colors, with sounds, with light, with herbs, with what resonates in your work?
I suggest sound the most, either, you know, different types of music. I also do group crystal ball meditations, you know, here around the Kansas City area quite a bit. And, you know, those are wonderful for that. The crystal balls, as you, I'm sure you've probably experienced them, they take you out there.
Yeah.
They take you to a, you know, this place, you know, just where there just isn't time and space.
Well, you also talk about on the website, color your meditation, and you've got a coloring book.
I actually have three so far. They're actually, and when going back to the solfeggios, there is 9 sets of 9 frequencies. And it is my intention to create a mandala coloring book and also full color meditation decks for those that don't want to take the time to color so they can still work with
Oh, yeah. That's too labor intensive. Jeez.
Yeah, for some people, it might be. I have completed 3 of those sets so far, and I'm working on the 4th right now, and I hope to have it done sometime in July.
I was over at the bookstore and I saw the 3 that were available, and it's just, yeah, they aren't colored. The designs are there and you do your own work. And my suggestion is when we're doing stuff like this is to let the inner child lead the way. And so, you know, yeah, it's great to have a card, but just the challenge of picking out the crayon and making time to get that other analytical mind out of the way. Oh, it's got to be in the, it's just, there's no perfect in this. There's no right way. There's just your way of connecting. And during that process, you may not even have completed the coloring page, but you have awakened another sense of knowing and creative outlet that says, oh my gosh, maybe I want to start painting, or maybe I need to take a course on, you know, speed reading, or I need to learn a new language. And all of a sudden, that came from just that moment to get out of your right way of doing things to say, what is the most surprising thing? I learned this from somebody else that might appeal to me right now that I could do to enhance and empower my life. And there it is. And see, you've just done it by doing Susan's color meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's effortless.
You know, and other things you can do with them besides just, you know, especially even, you know, with the decks is I've, you know, then like put them in a plastic bag and set a glass of water on top of them and charge the water with the energy of those, or charged crystals, or essential oils or herbs, you know, to give them another, you know, another dimension to their healing properties.
And when you start working with these kinds of infusions and elevate your own awareness, you give yourself, it's basically lightening up. And as you become a little bit lighter with your energy, you are more sensitive to this type of creation, this type of manifesting, this type of healing, this type of process work. It's incredible the way this then helps you to start almost a chain reaction effect of getting rid of things that no longer serve your growth in this lifetime. At least that's been my experience with it.
Mine as well. Yeah. It's amazing. Just, you know, looking at, you know, the stuff that we think we have to have, or, you know, what, you know, does my job really serve me, and what is it that's actually going to bring me the most joy? And, you know, are the people in my life, are they really, you know, the people that are here to help me be the best person that I can be? And am I helping them be the best person they can be?
Well, and you also remember how powerful the things that you say to yourself can be in terms of allowing this forward momentum. Well, I can't. It's not the right time. The first thing starts with a denial or a doubt. And once you eliminate those, that kind of language from your speaking and your presence, then things happen.
Yeah, we definitely need to become more conscious of the language that we use. We need to remove the can't, don't, won'ts, and shouldn'ts.
I think that works well when you're working with the angels, because with the colors, you don't have to have the language. You just have that little jump start, that little connect with something that might feel comfortable or soothing or empowering.
Yeah, and I know when, in talking about the can't, don't, won'ts, and shouldn'ts, mm-hmm. when we're asking our angels for help, if we use those words, they don't acknowledge them. So, for example, if you say, you know, you're looking for a new car, and if you say, you know, I really don't want another blue car, they just heard you wanted another blue car. So guess what you're going to end up with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, also your higher self doesn't acknowledge those words. So, yeah, we need to become more...
The clue is that your speaking is powerful. Your words, they're powerful. Mm-hmm. And the intent of the words to create abundance isn't necessarily what comes through in the speaking of the words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all, you know, spend too much time focusing on what we don't want when we should be focusing on what we do want.
I think that thing that goes along with the worry, you know, worry doesn't serve a purpose. So it's get that out of your cooking your stew, and then you see more results of actual productive value. When you're looking at people and trying to give them something to help them, like with me, as I speak, I know I have to be careful about the kinds of things, especially when I'm doing an interview, that I put out there that turn it in a direction that isn't helpful, that challenge it or, you know, criticize. I have to say, well, how does this work? And in doing that, I've learned how to speak a little bit nicer to myself. Yeah. Do you censor yourself when you're working with clients?
I'm getting better at that all the time. And, yeah, and with myself as well. Yeah, it's, yeah, we all struggle with that. We're human. We're still in the human form at this moment is a better way to put that.
Well, it's so easy to make a judgment, and you realize it was a snap judgment, and it was totally incorrect, but it was just like an autopilot response, a reflex of conditioning. And until you uncondition yourself, then there are those little things that peek through. And, you know, but I've learned with working with people who come at this from so many different directions, whether they work with color or sound or light or images or impulses, that it all results in movement and in creation and magic. Things that we don't expect, things we didn't know we could do, just appear. And those moments are so incredibly extraordinary that, at least for me, it drives me forward, because if it can happen once, then there's a whole lot more out there. And I just have to keep going and create the result as I go.
So many of us have forgotten how to use our imagination.
See, I think that's basically the secret weapon of anything that we want to do.
Agree.
The things that we have. Imagination is that it's the gasoline. It's the juice. It's the driving force.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't say gasoline. We're going for clean energy, but I'm not sure which type of fusion is the cleanest.
I think we have a lot of options coming our way on that, and I think we're going to be experimenting with a lot of different things, and it's going to be fun to watch and see what comes about. It's exciting.
We're going to have to wrap up. I do want to give you a chance, though, in terms of getting this to people who would like to access your coloring books or your information. Go ahead and just give us an idea of what might be most helpful.
Most helpful. If you want to start on your personal path, the coloring books and the Sophagio coloring books and meditation decks are a great place to start. Also, come join me for a crystal ball meditation. They are so fun. And I'm doing it, in about 4 different locations around Kansas City in different parts of the city. So, I'm working on possibly recording those.
I was going to say, do you have anything YouTube yet?
I do have one short, about 3-minute YouTube video of me playing the crystal bowls, but still working on the sound quality on that.
Okay. Well, but it's just an idea. An inspiration and a start. So when you're listening to this, because we don't know what day you're actually going to hear it. Okay. And that once this gets out, it plays in perpetuity. And so when you're listening to this, you can check out Susan's website at angelicreflections.com. And then whatever she has produced since then is just like icing on the cake. Okay. It's gravy.
Yeah.
Because by the time you hear this, there may be a whole lot more out there and maybe, 6 more coloring books.
I tend to be rather prolific sometimes.
Okay, so if somebody has an angel right now and they wanted to see it around them, a suggestion?
A suggestion to see it themselves?
Uh-huh, yeah. Is there a way that you can maybe give us a shortcut?
Cross your eyes. partly just because that takes you out of, that linear way of looking at things.
I love that. That's way too easy. I just tried it.
Or if you wear glasses, take your glasses off. Uh-huh, I wear glasses normally, and so when I sit and do an angel portrait, I take my glasses off.
Yeah. And I vouch for that. The take your glasses off and see is absolutely a release from having to see things in linear form, because you miss so much with those glasses, that mm-hmm. ET element, that other awareness, that the energies that are around us. When you're talking about the Devic kingdom, and I say somebody said Devic or Devic, I have a tough time with that word, but it's out there.
Yes.
I've experienced and seen in my own way. So the glasses are there in some ways a limitation. And so use them if you have to drive. But when you're trying to tune into the other energies around us, that softened vision is an incredibly empowering and enhancing. So thank you. Yeah, the cross your eyes was a beautiful way of illustrating that point.
And ask your angels for help.
Okay. And then be open to interpretation. Don't have an expectation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes, the greatest gift is the one that we didn't expect.
Yay! It's the surprise element. It's always out there. The one element that isn't in our tables. Surprise. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes.
Maybe somebody will fix that. But right now, it's still a wide open ballgame. The field of surprise is waiting for us to show up.
Yes.
Thank you, Susan. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, bringing colors into the equation and working with the meditations and sound, because there are other ways for us to heal without being so attached or just we make so many demands on healing coming from a certain resource. There are other ways to access it. So don't give up if you're struggling with something, a challenge. You might need a little color to lighten up your view. So thank you. Susan Proud, again, she's available at angelicreflections.com. And if you want to make an appointment, you can do that through her website. In the meantime, whatever you are doing with your own life, if you want to try being something amazing, be the most brilliant color in the box. My mom sent me that card for my birthday. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it matches the colors on my wall. Without even trying. And she hadn't seen the wall that it's on. So yeah, there are colors out there that we live by. And Susan, you are an extraordinary color. Okay. You don't have just one. You've got millions, and those angels are singing symphonies to you every day. I really, really like what I'm hearing.